The Lord wants to teach us to fight. There's many things the Lord won't do for us, but He's given us all the elements that we need. God wants us to rise up, and He wants us to take our place. He wants us to realize that He is always with us. In this strange world that we live in, we're always attaching to people, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, friends. We're always attaching to someone. It seems to be so easy to be drawn away from Jesus and realize that He's the one that owns us. He's the one that paid the price to have us. Our loyalties, our love, everything is to Him. He puts us in one church one day, takes and He moves you from one country to another. He is the one that addresses things in your life. And the peace that only He can give is the one that settles into your spirit. It just settles into your spirit. Jesus is nearing. His time for coming to the earth is nearing. My job is to take you to Him. You must be attached to Him, because things are going to get really wild. But He will never leave you. His presence will never leave you. Attach yourself to Him, I beg you. Attach yourself to Him. That's what His Spirit is saying tonight. Attach yourself to Him. Don't try to put any special meaning to that. Just know that the time for His coming is drawing much, much nearer. And He's only coming for those whose lives are totally attached to Him, looking for His coming, in love with Him, and ready for Him to return. Don't let that day catch you attached to anything on earth but Him. And those will be the ones that will go. The rest are going to stay. I don't ever want to be here. When the church goes up and the Holy Spirit leaves, many, because of it, will be saved. Fall in love with Him. Stay close to Him. Put your eyes on Him and go wherever He tells you to go. Do whatever He tells you to do. Be in love with Him all the time. He'll provide your work. He'll provide your schedule. He'll provide your things. Whatever you need, He will be there for you. He's your husband. We, the ministry, represent John the Baptist. Jesus said that we are in your life today and gone tomorrow. But He has always been there. He is calling to you. He wants your heart. He wants your loyalty, your love. He wants you. The Lord has never left you. And the Holy Spirit is nudging me to tell you that wherever He is, Peniel is. He is Peniel. Peniel is not a church. It's not a minister. Peniel isn't a type of services. Is the person of the Lord. And that's what He wants you to love. That's what He wants you to want. That's what He wants me to want. That's what He wants us to be nostalgic for when He's not around. Peniel is the presence of Jesus. That's what it represents. Seeing God face to face. That's why Jacob called the place Peniel. Peniel is not a place. It's not a church. It's not a ministry. Peniel is not a vision. Peniel is a manifestation, a real and true manifestation of God on earth. It's the very presence of Jesus. The true essence of Peniel isn't the forms, the songs, the singing, the worship. But God is never confined to one place on earth. God said to David, "Who will build me a house?" Where do you think on earth you can make a place for me, seeing as though the heavens of the heavens cannot contain me? I believe that this is something that's coming to this earth, a manifestation of the glory of the presence of God, unprecedented in history. I'd like to be alive for the fullness of it. But be as that might, it will still be as the Lord has declared tonight to you. Because sometimes you have to recognize when it's a person speaking to you and when it's the Lord and His Spirit speaking directly to you. And you have to understand that when He calls you to Himself, He doesn't want anybody in the middle of that. Nobody. You wouldn't believe how many people God has taken out of my life that really meant a lot. And in Psalms 45, the Lord is so clear when He says, forget your father's house, that's your family. Forget your people, that's your churches and church groups and those that you hang out with. And He said, and the king will find beauty. What the Lord is doing is He's looking on the earth to see who on earth really wants His son. Who on earth prefers Him over prosperity, over blessings, even over deliverance? Who wants Him above anything else in their life? Careers, jobs, material things. And He's going to put a mark on those people. And when His son comes, those are the blessed people who will go up with Him for the wedding that will take place in heaven. Then there's going to be a wedding supper, and the Lord's going to come back, and He's going to take with Him all those that have suffered during those times of tribulation and made their clothing white in the blood of the Lamb during great tribulation, and He's going to come back for them, and they will be there at the wedding supper, at the feast that they have after the wedding. But the Lord is looking throughout the earth. And believe me, the Lord is going to take some of His own people, the Jews, too, so He's getting them ready, too. Unusual things are going to be happening with those people in the natural, in the political, and in the spiritual while God gets His bride ready, because she's asleep like the 10 virgins. They all went to sleep, not some of them. But some of them kept the essence of the oil of the anointing of fellowship and love for the Lord. That is why when the Lord came, He took half of them with Him, the five. And when the other five came back, He didn't say it's because you didn't have oil and you went to buy it and you weren't there when I came. He just says, I don't know you intimately. I really don't know who you are, so I can't open the door to you. The door is shut. When the Lord returns to the earth, it's going to be quick. He says it's going to be like the thief in the night. And He's not going to be here partying for 6 weeks. It's going to be in a twinkling of an eye. He's going to take with Him all those whose hearts long for Him and love Him and have Him on their mind. And what He is really saying is that after that, the door is going to close. And there's going to be a time of great suffering on earth. The five virgins, don't feel sorry for them, the ones that got left out of the wedding, but they didn't get left out of the wedding supper. He came back. And by then they were ready. They were ready. Because by then He'd burned away all the materialistic things that they'd put their heart on, all the gods that they'd worship, all the flesh and the sex that drives our country crazy, all the unheard of perversions that we make our gods today. And He's going to have a people whose heart is with Him, and He owns them, He loves them, and they belong to Him. Those that have allowed His blood to cleanse them daily, wash them, and keep them ready. And when He comes, it'll be like when you're in church and His Spirit comes, and you just get swept away in His presence. It's just that simple, that easy. It won't be different. That's what it will be like, except you'll just be leaving your body. And if it's like some theologians believe, your body will actually go with you. But we leave this earth. Who wants it? Who needs this? God has come to prepare your heart for Him. That's why we have these moments. That's why I must leave you with Him. I must leave you making your own choices. I must leave you learning how to communicate the languages of love with Him, how to get to know Him. I can't get in the middle of that. I really haven't done what God called me back to Atlanta to do until I put your hand in His like John the Baptist and say, my job is to bring you to Him, until you and Him are back together again. Then he said, I have to get out of the way because the bride belongs to the bridegroom. The nice thing about this is that I consider myself a bride too. We're there together. It's simple, isn't it? The equation is easy to figure out. And the question is, where will you be? Where will you be? Has he stolen away your heart? Is he yours? I've said quite a bit, and if you really had a heart to see through what I'm saying, you will understand that God is pressuring to get back to you and to get you back to him and to get your heart right with him. You see, bitterness and resentment and sin and problems isn't really his problem. He dealt with that 2,000 years ago on the cross. He already dealt with all that mess. It's done. He's declared us free. Open your Bibles for just a moment before I let you go to the book of Colossians. And in the second chapter, verse 14, Jesus, by his atoning death on our behalf, wiped out the handwriting of legal requirements that was against us. And he disarmed the satanic principalities and powers that stood condemning us before our God. He took away their primary weapon that they used against us, which is guilt. You're guilty. Guilty is charged. As a result, we are now justified and have peace with God, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. To be justified means to be made righteous with Christ's righteousness, which retains no record of sin or wrong, nothing of which to be guilty. In effect, each of us has been on trial in the court of heaven, and the verdict has been handed down, not guilty. Not guilty. Therefore, the basis for the devil's greatest power was disarmed and taken away and removed from him. That is why we have the right to exercise the authority of the name of Jesus based on the works that he did in the cross to justify us before God. We are no longer guilty. Did we do these things? Yes. Do we need to repent and turn away from what we do? Oh, yes. That shit has to do with daily cleansing. Do you need to take a shower? Just because you live in the modern world, you don't have to. But if you want to smell like somebody that lives under a bridge, just don't take any more showers. As far as God's concerned, we're not guilty. So all heaven is at our disposal to help us because we are not guilty. We are declared justified by God. And the perfect righteousness of Christ was his gift to all those that he loves. And all those that love him, he gives them his personal righteousness. That means his perfection. He transgressed in no law according to the Father, or he could never have been the perfect Lamb. So he gives us his perfection. So as far as God is concerned, we are not guilty. We have the righteousness of God in Christ, or we have the righteousness of Christ in God. And when God looks upon us, he sees Christ's righteousness. Oh, we see some other stuff. And so does the devil. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. Can I make it simple for us? Pretend like there's a huge mound here, and that's all the perfect works of Jesus. The Father says, that's all yours. I see you here. All the works of Christ. Each time he bowed and surrendered. Each time he obeyed. Each time he did what was perfect. Even all the way to the end, to the ultimate suffering, and gave his life for somebody else, and loved even to the end those that were hurting him and maiming him and killing him, and still loved them and forgave them. Whew, we got a way to go. But God is saying, now, I want you to let my Holy Spirit take one spoonful at a time out of this mountain of holiness and work it into your life till it becomes yours. As far as God's concerned, the whole mound is yours. As far as our personal life is concerned, we have one spoonful at a time. The devil wants to declare us at any time guilty so that he can come and have a right to stay here. Listen, if we truly believed that the full finished work of Christ stands for us, the devil has no right to any part of our life, to harass us, to be there against us, to afflict us, to torment us, to make us sick, to break us down, to wear us out. You can come to him and say, Mr. Devil, on the basis of this whole mountain of holiness, which is actually mine by a gift of God, I come against you and strip you of your rights in the name of the one who gave me perfect holiness and perfect righteousness. I strip you of that right. You have no business here with me. You have no business tempting me. You have no business pushing me. You have no business prying on my weaknesses. You can leave now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of perfect righteousness, I am not guilty. And you just take another spoonful by the Holy Ghost, by the power of the Spirit, you take another little bit of his holiness and apply it to that part of your life that he's working on. By the time you get to be my age, or maybe the time you get to be 80 and you're ready to go to heaven, you might only have 2% of that mountain transferred. Oh, don't worry about it. As far as God's concerned, it's all yours already. It's all yours. We've got eternity to work on the rest of it without anybody hindering us. We're just going to make what was given to us ours, little by little. Check by check, we're going to cash out and put in our account what he's got in his and gave us by inheritance. You see, personal holiness is what we work out. Oh, maybe you're not working so fast. So what? The whole mountain's already yours. You know what? You haven't been working too well on your rebellion. You know that? You really haven't. You're working pretty slow. What's that any of my business? That's like me telling you that the house that you own, you're living in. Hello? Who else do you think is going to live in it? It's my house. You see, sanctification of the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. Believers overcame Satan by the word of their testimony and by the blood of Jesus. I want you to know that you've got a whole lot more than you think you do in God. If you were to ask me tonight, who determines how fast we transfer that mountain into our life so it becomes our together with his? Well, in Hebrews 12:1, the writer says, we need to lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Just lay it aside. There's a little bit of work we have to do. The Holy Spirit will inspire us to work. And he is saying, you haven't resisted blood. You haven't gone that far fighting sin yet. We need to fight it and condemn it in our body. But God has given us victory over the devil, and our progress depends on the degree to which we cooperate with the Holy Spirit every day of our life. Every day of our life, the Holy Spirit comes, as it were, with a shovel. And he says, look, this shovel full, we need to transfer it into your life today. You got to get up earlier this morning. Oh, Lord, you're messing with me now. So we need to transfer a little bit more. God wants to find a little bit more when he comes. He wants to at least find your health strong, and he wants to find your faith strong. The Holy Spirit will not help us in the struggle with demons if we intend to continue living in whatever sin we're in. We have to understand God. God is a tremendous God. I just find out that so many times in our life, the Holy Spirit is there to help us. But let me just guide you to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. We'll finish with this tonight. It says, by one offering or sacrifice, he, that is Jesus, has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 14. So now listen to this. There's the initial. Here's the mountain. With one sacrifice and with his life lived on earth, He produced a mountain of righteousness and holiness for us. It's done. We're perfect. We're declared not guilty in anything. We're justified. And His righteousness, by only believing God, didn't God count it to Abraham for righteousness because he believed God? He believed what God said was true? Well, God is saying that by one offering, He perfected us forever. So, what do we have to do with that? Believe. So when I believe, this whole mountain of perfection and holiness and perfect living is mine. It's already mine. But who is the mine? Who is it referring to? Those that should be sanctified. How does your Bible put it? Them that are sanctified. If you look in the original, you're going to find that it says those who are being sanctified. Those that are being consecrated, separated, and allow the Holy Spirit to keep working in their life. You see, the Pentecostals, many years ago, at the beginning of the last century, 19th century, try to make us all believe, and even before that, in Wesley's time, that sanctification was an experience that you experienced, and from then on, you were perfect and holy, and nothing ever went wrong with your life. Well, honey, they did a lot of sweeping under the carpet. If anything was ever found on you, you were bound for hell because they had no answer for you. That's not what God said. God said He perfected us already. As far as He's concerned, the deal's done. Now what He wants us to do is to transfer as much as we can into our life while we're here on earth. Now why would God want us to do that when we can work on that mountain forever? In fact, was it not a gift to begin with? Was it a gift given to you and to me by faith, or was it given it for shoveling? I got to hear it. Are you sure it wasn't for shoveling? Let's use the word transferring. Was it based on transferring? To see how much of that mountain you got into your life before you left? That's how high up in the echelon of heaven you get? Maybe even to cardinal. Can I explain it so simple? The amount of this mountain that's given to you by faith as a gift and is already yours now and forever. You don't have to work for it in heaven or here. But do you know why God wants us transferring some of it into our life now? Because the more you transfer it, the more favor, the more blessings, and the more extra goodies God can pile on your life while you're on this earth. Because it gives Him a right. As far as God's concerned, it's all yours. But what we work into our life is personal holiness while we're here and allow the Holy Spirit to do opens the windows of heaven. Haven't you ever noticed that people that do things right before the Lord, there's just such favor over their life? We say, oh, I'd sure like that favor. Honey, here's a shovel. Let the Holy Spirit start transferring what was already done for you by faith into your life, into your flesh, to where you start to overcome like He overcame. And by overcoming, you have right, you have grace, you have favor over your life. And things start happening for you that don't happen for others. Why? Because that's a special grace given to people who will let God work that into your life. But listen, if we all believed what I just told you, it makes a mess of criticism. Where's our basis to criticize now? Well, you did that. I saw you do that. So I have a little bit less favor from God. What's your deal? Doesn't it take out the teeth out of the lion? Doesn't it? Doesn't it sort of ruin their party? Maybe I do need to take a hint and shovel some more because I need more grace over my life. I need favor. Grace, I shouldn't use the word grace because grace is unmerited favor, so we don't do anything to favor. But there is favor that comes from God. That in the transferring, there's special blessings and things that come from God, revelations and things that come. We have to search out revelation. It's not just given as a gift. And God gives special things to those who will allow the Holy Spirit to transfer out of that pile into your life, as it were, here on earth, the holiness of God while you're living. And we call it overcoming. Every area you learn to overcome in, do you know what other goodies it has? God gives you the ministry of it, the power of it, the authority of it. Let's just say that out of this pile, I've overcome a weakness in my life for lying. Now, 10 years later, I have it nicely transferred. I've just quit lying. I'm not tempted to do it. I don't need to do it. I think it's silly to do it, and I don't know why I had such a weakness for so many years. But the moment it becomes mine, I have authority in that area over every lying spirit, over every person that's condemned by it, and every person that has a weakness by it. I can command those devils to go, and they're going to go because they know where I stand. They know where I'm at. They know they lost with me. And anybody I buddy up to is going to have that same covering. You are. You may not have too many people protecting you, but if you stood beside President Bush, you're going to have a whole army of people that you didn't know were even around him protecting you. It's not about you. If we overcome the things that we overcome in this life, God will give you a ministry for. He will give you authority in it. The things that you have suffered and won the victory in, he gives you authority in that, and he will let you win the victory, even in faith. If you win a battle over sickness and disease in your life by faith, when it's finally given to you by faith and you're made whole, you wouldn't believe the authority you have to pray for people that have that same problem. Bang, that demon's got to go. And normally the thing you worked hardest to make part of your life from here is what God will make your ministry to bring other people into and to bless other lives and to have authority over the kingdoms and powers and principalities over their life and cities and churches. Boy, the more you take, the more you do, the more you live that discipline of the Spirit transferring into your life, you wouldn't believe the perks that go with it. It's worth it. But now for critics to stand by and criticize you for failing on some accounts or another, that is absolute ridiculousness. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. The pile's already mine. I've been declared guiltless. I've been declared justified before I did all the rest of the stuff I was going to do in my life. How about the people that lived for 2,000 years from the time of Jesus till now? Before I ever came on the scene to start doing whatever. God declared us guiltless, justified 2,000 years ago. And the whole world. And you know what he also did? He declared justified and not guilty every single person that lived the 4,000 years before that. That's why the graves had to bust open and let them go. What can dead people do in their grave to make up a pile and put it in their life? Mother Earth knew better than that. She confined them in her realms of death because of sin. But when God's gavel hit the table and said, I declare the entire race of human beings not guilty. When the verdict was handed down, Mother Earth belched up all the people she held inside of her. So much for critics. Do you know what critics are? Misinformed people that have no understanding of the ways of God. Feel sorry for them. Don't get angry with them. Don't feel ashamed. Why should you feel ashamed if you've been declared not guilty? You've been justified. Now, keep working on transferring as much of that pile as you can and overcoming your weaknesses in this earth, because then God will give you a ministry and authority, not only in this world, but in the world to come, because there's a lot of people bound. Do you know what God's given me authority in? The very thing I'm doing tonight, setting people free from the prisons of darkness in their mind and setting them free to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and quit throwing the law book at people, because my eyes have seen the glory of the Lord. I have heard the Lord declare free, and when he declares you're free indeed. I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. You need to let the liberating truth of the Lord Jesus work for you. And if you want to use that as an excuse to live according to your weaknesses and do all the things for your flesh you want to do and not overcome, you'll be a poor little miserable creature that is in need of a lot of favor. That's why we go running to all the ministries to get whatever impartation we can get. Honey, you can have it on your own. Just start shoveling. Come over here and say, all right, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to cooperate. What do you want to work into my life? I want to work a little bit of patience. Oh, really? I'm not too good at that. I know that. That's why we're going to start with that. And I said, well, you know, okay, how do we start shoveling? He said, no, you don't shovel for this one. You take it. What do you mean, take it? Affliction produces patience. Oh, really? So affliction comes skipping and hopping. God made my day. He says he wants to produce patience in you. A virtue he seems to love. Now, I know it's yours already by faith. You wouldn't have to be afflicted to get it. How many have been blessed by the testimony of Job? How many have been liberated by seeing that God is a God like he was and revealed himself to Job? Let's see. Do you know why your life has been blessed by him? Because that's some of the shoveling he did. And God talks about the patience of Job. We all want the double. Let God work in your life what he worked in his, and we'll have the double. We'll have a ministry that 4,000 years after we're dead keeps blessing people. Wouldn't you love your life to be a blessing 4,000 years after you die? To all kinds of humans? Have some little church 4,000 years later all raise their hand and say, I was blessed by Job. Listen, folks, it's not a matter of sin. That was taken care of already. It's not a matter of guilt. It's not a matter of finger pointing. You know, all the finger pointers should have their fingers chopped off because they're useless. They're bearing guilt and shame. Do you know that's what the devil does? Listen, the moment you know the truth, it's going to set you free. The moment you have been plagued by condemning devils and the truth gets into your life like tonight, you're going to stand up there and you say, well, Mr. Devil, I've been afraid of you half a lifetime. I've crawled and groveled. I've wiggled like a worm, but I'm getting up. You, Mr. Devil, are a liar. Why should I feel your shame? You go feel it. Shame on you. You're not justified. You're the only one in this group that's not justified. You're the only one in this group guilty. You need to go and repent. I doubt you'll ever make it to the name of Jesus. I think you'll be gone by then. He doesn't like that kind of company. The more you let the Holy Spirit work into you, the more power you have with God. You have power in prayer to set other people free. Now you're not wasting all your day praying for yourself. You're praying for others. You don't need to pray for yourself. It's taken care of. Why? Because the light of the gospel got in. Because you realize we are free. He declared us free. Folks, that's what we need to do in our own personal life. With the spirits of defeat, the spirits of depression, the spirits of heaviness, the spirits of affliction, the spirits of torment, the spirits of lies, spirits of perversion, the spirits of bitterness, the spirits of resentment, the spirits of backbiting. We need to get rid of them. God's declared me not guilty. Jesus said, don't worry if you don't overcome enough. I overcame the world for you. Come on, we can do it. I did it for you. I'll show you the way. I'll help you. I want you to overcome because everything you overcome, there's such tremendous privilege. Why do you think Jesus could stand and cast out devils all day out of people? Do you know that people that went to church in the days of Jesus didn't mind somebody screaming over here and somebody writhing over here and somebody arguing with Jesus as demons were coming out of him? Oh, they just thought it was a marvelous service. Today we have to have it all, you know. Do you know that in the presence of Jesus they've got to manifest? They got to come out. They got to say, oh, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Well, good. What's your name? Deception. Come out, you spirit of deception, in the name of Jesus. Who are those that walk? Those that walk in the confidence that he has declared me free. He has declared me not guilty. He has declared me his love. He has declared my heart his. He has declared that everything that I ever needed to do to please God has already been done. And by faith, I'm still hanging in there. And not only am I hanging in by faith, by the work he did, but I am starting to transfer some of it into my life. To be able not just to tell devils where they can go or when they can go. No, we're not given to tell them where. But we can tell them when and that. But we can do that for others. Even the ones he has a right in. We just bring the presence of Jesus to them and they have to manifest. And you find out who they are and get rid of them. God bless you. Keep you. Go with you. Enjoy Jesus. Enjoy your freedom.